This is a project to set up a new aero kit for IndyCar starting for the 2018 season. You've been working on this now for about a year and a half. Is that right, Jay?
Yes. Yeah, we started on this project, was actually last March, and it's been a long process. It's been a really good process so far. We've got all of our current manufacturers, Chevrolet and Honda, involved. We've got all the teams involved. Dallara's obviously been involved to a huge extent also. So it's been a great collaboration, great team effort. Went from actually doing a couple of track tests last year at Phoenix in Mid-Ohio to a design stage to a development stage, wind tunnel-wise, to our first test was, you know, a couple of days ago at the Speedway. So the tests went very well, and we still got a lot of work to do, but we're very encouraged where we're at today.
As I understand it, you're starting out with the existing Dallara chassis, and this is just pieces that you're going to put on, and new aerodynamic designs that are going to be put on the existing chassis. Is that right?
Correct, yes. Yes, the last couple of years, the manufacturers were involved in the design and the development of the aero kits. Going into 18, we'll have a universal kit that's for both Chevrolet and Honda teams. What we try to do is we try to have a historical feel to the car, but it's very forward-thinking, very forward-looking. It'll have all the latest and greatest electronics components, the new aero kit. Again, it has a historical feel and look to it. So we're real excited about the progress.
In addition to everything else you've designed it, well, let's get to the basic question. Are these cars faster with this kit than the ones that they're using now?
Well, it's hard to say because I use this analogy a lot, that data doesn't drive. And you know, all of our data shows it will for sure not be slower than the current car. But again, the first test we had was, you know, the other day at the Speedway. The speeds were really good for the first time out of the box, thinking that we were running, you know, test-type motors. The kits had basically come into the country, and the teams bolted them on, so there wasn't any things that were done to them to help increase the speed. The cars weren't trimmed out. It was a good test. So, we certainly think this car has the potential to be faster than the current car.
It kind of walked me through the test that you thought was going to be 2 days, but it seemed to wrap up so well that it only took one. Walk me through the things the stages that you went through with these tests on that day as to what it was you were looking for before you advanced to the next level or the next speed level.
Yeah, well, it was a pretty simple test matrix. You went out and did some install type things to make sure that it was okay. We tried to hit a target speed throughout the course of the day that we were looking for to hit. Once you got to the speed numbers, then after that point, we went and made some long runs. So some 25 to 30 lap runs to see how the car would react over a fuel run or over a tire stint. What was good, like you mentioned a minute ago, we had 2 days just in case. We thought we could get it all done in one day, or that if everything went right, we could get it done in a day. So obviously everything went right because we were able to get it done in a day. The car's got good speed. The car handled well over a long run. There were some gremlins in the morning, with some electronic things that got us put behind a little bit. But even with that, we were still able to get the test concluded in one day. And really that, from an IndyCar perspective, that's what our goal was, because what we're really doing is we have just boxes we're trying to check it hits the speed, all the components fit, there's no problems, there's no heating issues, that type of thing. We're going to do this, or we did it at the Speedway, we're going to do it at Mid-Ohio on Tuesday, we're going to do it at Iowa first part of August, and then Sebring then in September. So then once we have our sign-off test done, then we're going to hand the kits over to the manufacturers. They'll be able to go test for their teams for a month and a half. And then after that, the teams will actually get their kits that they can go do their own individual testing. So, again, it's just part of the process that we went through last year and a half. And, again, so far, so good.
Your two drivers have a lot of experience, one Pablo Montoya and Oriol Servia. Did they come in at the end of the day and say, here are some things we still need to tweak and work on? Or they seem to be pretty happy.
Yeah, actually not so much, which was, I guess, a good thing and a bad thing. They thought the car drove really well. It didn't do any or react any differently than they thought it would. You know, you have a expectation of how a car is supposed to drive. Like you said, they've got, great race car drivers. They got great experience. So you have certain expectations how your car should react. And they said it didn't do anything that surprised them. It drove really well. And so again, that was part of with Juan, with Oriel, it was, we wanted to get guys who are very current, but weren't current full-time drivers. So we couldn't be more thrilled that they agreed to do this. We, you know, to have two people of that caliber to be part of this testing program has been great. So it was, again, they were, I think, pleasantly surprised by how the car reacted over the course of the day.
I've heard you say that one of the things you're looking for is to improve the way these cars handle when they're running close together, so there's likely to be more passing. Were they able to run close together during these tests enough to give you a feel for how well that idea is working out?
No, we didn't do that at this test. The cars, there were a few times where they were out on the track together, but not anywhere near each other. So that's later on in the testing process. And actually, when I say later on, we're going to do some of that at Mid-Ohio, which here on Tuesday, being a road course, so it's a little different situation. But last year, this is one of the places we tested our ideas. So we're going to try to back-to-back some of the things we did last fall with the new car to make sure it's doing what we thought it would do. So after the test on Tuesday, I think we'll have a much better indication, at least on the road course type stuff.
When we talked in May at the Speedway, we talked a lot about the safety of the cars, and I know that's one of the goals in the design of this car. Can you walk me through some of the safety features that have gone into this new design?
Well, the biggest thing it has a much more robust driver-side impact and intrusion piece than what the current car is. Very good, but obviously you always want to be better. So this car, we had the opportunity to make it more robust. It's got some different materials that are stronger and more crash absorbing. Plus, we were able to move it forward, so it's in front of it, or up to past the driver as he's sitting or as they are sitting. So it has more mass from the back, or from the front to the back, and then on width too, and then the materials are much stronger. So we're really excited about that. There's been a couple incidents over the last couple years that you never know for sure, but this is one of the things that we wanted to address, and it looks really good. It fits the car perfectly, and it should be much more robust.
When are you going to be taking a look at I guess it would be a windshield or some kind of driver protection there around the cockpit?
Yeah, well, we've been working on a couple different applications, again, like we talked about for the last year, really. So at some point through this testing process, we'll get some ideas of what we're going to put on the car. The car was designed that it can adapt to it, whatever application we go with. So it's just a matter of time, but certainly before the end of the year, we'll try a couple different things on this car to see how it works, and see if that gives us a direction in which way to go.
You've got to find a way to protect the driver, but at the same time, the driver has to be able to get in and get out of this car, so you've got to find that kind of a balance in this whole situation, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of it. And another part of it is that our series is so diverse. We run at a high bank place like a Texas Motor Speedway, and then you go to a flat, street type course of Toronto. So we're trying to find one application that works for every venue we go to. That's one idea. Another idea is to have maybe different applications for different type courses we go to. But ultimately, the best one would be if we could find something that works everywhere. If you look at a halo type application, that wouldn't work at a place like Texas or Iowa or somewhere like that, because with the car being at an angle, going to the turns, you couldn't see through it. So there's a lot of different things we've had to consider, and we're full speed ahead and working on it.
So you've got three more tests coming up at the end of the year, then you turn it over to the manufacturers. But I guess one of the things that you have with this common design, which is the same no matter whether it's Chevrolet or Honda, does this make it more attractive for maybe a third engine maker to come in and be a participant in the series?
We think so. That was one of the things that we worked when we started this project a year and a half ago, is we were talking to some potential manufacturer prospects, and a lot of them are good friends from over the years, And it was very apparent that being in the aero kit business was not really something they were interested in. So that was one of the things that started this five-year plan, was to stop the manufacturer's participation in the aero kits. So we froze them this year. So the cars are basically the same configuration as they were in 16, and then have the universal kit in 18. So I think we've eliminated a hurdle that we might have had. We also, as we went through this process, we've talked it and shown the OEM prospects what we're doing and where we're going to get their opinion, because we thought it would behoove us to get their opinion, because obviously we're trying to actively pursue their participation. So they seem to be enthused about where we're going and what we're doing. Does that mean they're going to come necessarily? No, but I think at least now we have some enthusiasm and a chance.
I need to ask a follow-up of this, and if we're getting too far ahead of things here, Jay, just say so. But when you look at where the industry is going these days, where you look at maybe even for Formula One is, and where you're looking at some of the things we're seeing coming out of Europe in terms of national policy about hybrid cars, electric cars versus internal combustion engine cars, have you started giving any thought to where you're going in terms of the future power plants for IndyCars?
We have, and we're currently talking to our you know, Chevrolet and Honda about what the future looks like. And right now our regulations are through 2020. So then, you know, what do we do after that? And we have certain windows to make change if a new manufacturer comes in. We have certain windows that will change whether one comes in or not. So we're going through that process. It's very fluid. And I think, like you said, the world's changing every day. So right now we think what we're doing is relevant, and we just got to make sure we remain relevant going forward.
Last question is not a racing question, but football practice is starting at the University of Missouri. You know what it's like to be out there in August practicing for a football season. You have any fond memories of August practices?
No, thank you. Sorry. No. No, there was always the enthusiasm to get back and to go to camp and to see everybody, and, you know, was getting everybody together again. And then about day two of that all wore off. And then you realized how hot it was, and you started counting how many days you had left. You know, the two, I'm not even sure. I don't believe they do two-a-days anymore, do they? Or I think there's different regulations about
that. Yeah, they're at least talking about that, yeah.
Yeah, two-a-days were pretty tough back in the day. And not that it's not tough now, I didn't mean like that, but It was great to get together. It was, you had the dog days of the fall, you know, where you got in the middle of the two-a-day process, and then you know, you got excited because camp was about ready to break. And then once camp was about ready to break, that meant you were going to go be able to hit somebody else and have a game. So that was the best part of that. I see all kinds of stuff this week about recruiting's going really well, so that's awesome. Coach Odom's a great guy. He's going to do some great things. Coach Hill's a great friend. You know, really, really excited about where they're going.